It's cold up here.
It's freezing. We forgot to turn the heat on.
Whoops. Hi, by the way.
Hello and welcome back.
It's the We Don't Want to Grow Up podcast. We're Stacy and Pete, freezing under the blanket fort, which sounds warm as it's made of blankets. It is not.
It is not. We're a couple of chilly little penguins.
Yeah, it's gotten a little cold outside and we forget that our upstairs has a different unit, so it's not heating when we don't use it. And here we are up here using it without heat.
I just have the G-unit thing going through my head right now.
How did you get from that to that?
Because you said unit, which made me think of G-unit.
Okay.
And then I was like, well, how could you do it to where it's AC unit?
Oh.
Yeah. Make sure you cut my AAAC unit thing. That'll be after.
An outtake?
It's an outtake.
Yes. By the way, a reminder, if you like bloopers, you should always stick around to the very end of the episode because we throw in some outtakes. And I must admit, they're pretty funny.
They are. And it's like 95% of the episodes now have it.
Yeah, because there's always something that I normally would have cut. But now I'm like, let's cut this from here, but it'll be real funny in the outtakes.
Yes.
So anyway, I brought my blanket with me. Pete's got his jacket on.
My hands are under my legs because they're numb.
What are you going to do when you have to scroll the outline?
It's a touch screen, so I may just use my nose.
Okay, there you go. All right, before we get into this, we have an apology to make.
Apparently, I'm supposed to apologize to two states?
No, I have to apologize to one of them.
Oh.
Although I believe I apologized to them while I was saying it in the episode. But go ahead, I'll let you go first.
I don't even know what I'm apologizing for.
You're apologizing to the state of Oklahoma because in an episode, I don't know if it was this past week's episode or the week before that, we were talking about how we should open up malls in different areas of the country. And you initially said we should just open a mall in Indiana. And I was like, Indiana? I just thought that that was a random place to pick. Of all the states that you could choose from, I thought it was an odd choice. And I said in the episode, though, not to besmirch Indiana, I just didn't think that that would be the place you would think of first, you know, like a hot spot to put something that a lot of people would go to.
No, it was because it was centralized.
I mean, it's not that central. It's centralized for us between like the north and the south over here on this side of the country.
I feel like
it's not in the middle 80%, of the country.
80% of the population in America is over on this side of the country. It's some huge number. It might even be higher than that.
And that's where your logic came from about it?
Yes.
Okay. That's really all I was looking for at the time was just an understanding of why Indiana.
Why not Indiana, I say.
But then you said something about Oklahoma. I don't remember exactly what you said, but you basically said something along the lines of nobody lives there. And someone in the Cozy Club made a post that said, indeed, people do live here. I live here. Lots of people live here and love malls. Pete, Peter.
I feel like Oklahoma is notoriously flat.
What does that have to do with anything? Malls are great on flat land. I don't know if you knew that.
It's not exciting enough for this mall. I'm not apologizing.
So flat is the reason. Too flat.
It's too flat.
Okay. Okay. Well, Cassia, I think that's how I pronounce your name. Apologies if not. We'll add more apologies to the next episode if I said your name wrong. I'm sorry, though, that my husband refuses to apologize for how flat he thinks Oklahoma is.
Cassia, you tell me if I'm wrong. All right. I want to know if I've gotten Oklahoma wrong.
You've got it wrong because you said no one lives there.
All right. I will apologize for that. People do live there. Now, will enough people that will go to my fantastic mall live there?
She said they love malls.
All of them?
Yeah. She spoke on behalf of the state of Oklahoma and said they love malls.
There's like 1,000 people in Oklahoma.
1,000? All right. You're just digging your hole into that flat land.
Well, at least it's easy.
Okay.
Apologies, Cassia, and to everyone in Oklahoma. I'm sure your state is very bumpy and full of people. Congratulations.
Very bumpy. I can't with you. Oh, okay. Moving on.
Yes.
There's something that I overheard last week. We both work from home. We share an office. Although I was actually in the kitchen when this happened, but Pete was on a call with his boss, and I overheard him saying, That's a bold move, Cotton. And I couldn't contain my laughter. Like, he heard me laughing from the kitchen, which is did. Not right there.
Through my headphones, nonetheless.
Yes. And I could tell quickly that his boss did not get the joke.
He did not understand the reference.
Which the reference is from Dodgeball, if you didn't know.
That's quite the sick reference, if I do say so
it
myself.
It was a sick reference. I was cracking up, though, because it's like, I loved it. And anybody that really knows Dodgeball would have loved that.
Yes.
I felt sad for you that it fell flat.
It's okay. Listen, you got to swing a few times before you hit. All right. I didn't know if he'd seen Dodgeball. If he had, he would have laughed at that.
Pete was just like, yeah, that's a movie quote. And then he just moved on real quick.
Yes.
To something much more professional sounding. And on a sadder note.
Yes.
We just want to acknowledge the passing of someone that I think, if you're listening to this podcast, probably touched your life in one way or the other. Matthew Perry passed away.
Very sad.
Yeah, it was last week. Very sudden and just a shock. I think Friends, there are a lot of people who, you know, we discovered when we did multiple Friends episodes back to back a couple of years ago, right around the time that they did their reunion. And we discovered that there were a lot of people who do not care for Friends.
Yeah.
But there are, of course, millions and millions of people who love it and who see it as a comfort show, who still watch it every night before they go to bed. It's just kind of become a comfort, like I said. So, I mean, it's obviously sad when anyone passes away, but for some reason, this one just kind of, in the celebrity world, hit home.
It did. And like you said, it was so sudden and unexpected, right? Like, he wasn't like 80, right? He's in his mid-50s, so.
No, he's 52.
Yeah. Much too young.
But I know that I haven't read his book, but I've heard bits and pieces of it. I know he had a hard road. He had a lot of struggles, but he also did a lot of good. And he really tried to help people that had the same struggles that he had. And I think he really had turned his life around and was just trying to have a positive, even more of a positive effect in recent times. So,
yeah. Well, may he rest in peace. We'll miss him.
Yes, absolutely. And before our show and tell, we just want to give a shout out to our new patron, Becky.
Becky, welcome.
Thank you so much, Becky.
Yes, thank you.
We're actually going to be recording some new stuff for our Patreon in November that we're pretty excited about.
We are.
Kind of a spontaneous decision. We're very close to being able to record it. I've not seen this spark in Pete's eye in a while about something that we're going to record.
Not since Awesomely Bad.
Oh.
Three. How okay. dare you? Besmirch me. Besmirch Oklahoma. Besmirch Indiana. Left and right.
You know what I mean. You were excited about Awesomely Bad, but not this excited.
True. This one has me very excited.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do we have a show and tell this week?
Of course we do.
Of course we do. It's right in front of me. Who's coming down this week? It is Shannon Phillips. And we don't always give out someone's Instagram handle, but I like this one. It is at Fannin Shillips.
Instead of Shannon Phillips.
Yes. Very inventive. I like it.
It is. And the only reason actually that he's saying that is every time someone sends me a show and tell, usually it's through Instagram and they usually send me pictures to share on the day that the episode is released. So I put their handle there just for me. So that I know who to tag when it rolls around. But it's so good, I'll allow you to leave it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The gifts you're giving me today are bountiful.
Ho, ho, ho.
Shannon was born in 1979.
She's my age.
'Tis the year of awesome.
True. Favorite 80s movies. Pretty in Pink, Shag the movie, which of course, you know, we love. It's the most fun.
I'd like a half a beer. A B and half.
The Beneker Gang, which is actually a movie that we just had to look up because neither of us had ever heard of it.
It's a new one for us.
Yeah, it came out in 1985. It stars Andrew McCarthy.
Wow.
And finally, The Breakfast Club.
Favorite 80s song, Hungry Like the Wolf.
It's so bad now because every time I hear that song, I just see the scene in Old School.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Is that when he's running down the road?
No, that's when, is it Dana Carvey that shows up to the house to give the lessons to the ladies?
Oh.
Using the cucumbers?
No, that is...
It's not Dana Carvey.
No, it's not Dana Carvey.
What's his face?
I can see him.
I see him clear as day. Of course, I see him in character with his little wig and glasses.
Yes. I'm going to have to look it up.
This is so embarrassing when we like publicly don't know something.
Well, listen.
Because you know people are yelling at us.
Publicly is only if you release it. You should be cutting all of this.
I don't know, though, because it's also human to mess up and to have brain farts sometimes.
And we're sure this is Old School, right?
Yes. This is driving me insane.
I can see his face right here.
I see his face.
I can't find the Andy Dick. Duh!
Oh, Andy Dick. Of course it's Andy Dick. Anyway, sorry to...
We digressed.
Anyway, I do always think of that scene, though, when I hear that song. Favorite 90s movie? Oh, Shannon and I would be friends. Empire Records and Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah. Favorite 90s song? Fade Into You. Love that song.
It is so 90s. I don't even know how else to describe it. It's just, I hear that song and I'm a teenager in the 90s again.
I'm either in my bedroom or in a crappy car listening to that song straight away.
Or at a dance.
Perhaps at a dance.
Something else that's very 90s teen and very fitting for this episode, her favorite 80s or 90s TV shows, My So-Called Life.
Toy that she loved most as a child, My Hug-A-Bunch.
Yes. Me too. Trying to hijack Shannon's show and tell right now.
I know.
Favorite game or book that you loved as a child or teenager? Game, Scattergories. Book, the entire Babysitter's Club series, or Just As Long As We're Together.
Favorite place to go in the mall in the 80s, 90s, or early 2000s? Claire's, Hot Topic, Silver Visions. Shannon says this was a store in my local mall that sold crystal necklaces.
Ooh.
Very specialized. Sam Goody and B. Dalton.
Nice. Who was your celebrity crush? Andrew McCarthy, Leo, Jared Leto, as Jordan Catalano, of course, and Devin Sawa. All the goodies. We always ask if there's anything else that our show and tell participants would like to add at the end. And she says, I can still smell the inside of Seventeen Magazine and Sassy. I was an Origin skincare devotee at age 13 and still am. I saw Fear in the theaters with my mom.
Awkward.
She put a Hello Roller Coaster scene. That's the first thing I thought of. Basically, I am a 90s teen and everything you all represent on the pod is my life.
Well, that is fantastic. Awesome show and tell. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you, Shannon. And it makes a lot of sense as to why then everything she was saying, I was like, me too. I have to add to smelling the inside of the magazines. 9 times out of 10, they still have that smell.
Which is incredible.
It is, like the perfume samples.
Yeah.
Unreal. It's one of my favorite things about recollecting all of them, because it really is just that visceral sense of nostalgia that just takes over. I mean, and the fact that it can do it to you even in your mind, but then to actually be able to physically do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I highly recommend. It's not a cheap hobby to have, but even if you can just find like one of those magazines on eBay or somebody sent me, they had just gotten a huge YM haul from their local library.
I was
like,
really?
Hey, I need to go to the library.
And they just gave them to them?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
I was very jealous.
Did not know that was a thing.
For a second, I thought she was going to say, do you want these? Because I was like, yes, I do. But anyway, this was an awesome show and tell. Thank you, Shannon.
You may be seated.
Gold stars. If you would like to participate in our show and tell, you can email us at wedontwantogrowuppod@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at wedontwantogrowuppod.
We're on TikTok at wedontwantogrowup.
We're on Facebook at wedontwantogrowuppodcast.
We also have a super secret special Facebook group called the Cozy Club-Fans of We Don't Want to Grow Up. All you have to do is answer a few fun, nostalgic questions and agree to the group rules, and our amazing Ma Joanna will approve you.
And if you would like to support the podcast and gain access to over 60 bonus episodes, you can come to patreon.com/wedontwantogrowup.
Yes, we now have three tiers. We have our $4 tier, which is what's been there all along. It's access to everything, all of our bonus episodes. Our $3 tier gives you access to all of our game shows, trivia, things like that that we do over there. And our $2 tier gives you access to the short and sweet episodes, the Dear Diaries, the Middle School Notes, the Teen Magazine excerpts. We added some extra tiers because we know we're not putting out as much material on our regular podcast, and it helps us a lot when you come over there. So
come check it out.
Yeah, we have a good time. And last but certainly not least, we have merch. If you would like to sport a We Don't Want to Grow Up shirt, hat,
apron,
phone case,
stickers,
almost anything that you could imagine, come to
we-don't-wanna-grow-up.myspreadshop.com.
There is one new thing that we would like to tell you about. On our Instagram, we are now offering subscriptions. We're not sure exactly what all is going to be included here, but I know one of the things that I'm really thinking about doing is sharing scans of all of the magazines and catalogs that I have so that people can really look at them. Because a lot of times people are like, you're going too fast when I do my flip throughs, or they just can't like pause on something to where it's clear. So I thought it would be nice to share the scans in that way so that people can really feel like they're looking through the magazine and reading it and all of that. Another thing we talked about doing is maybe a deeper look into some of our toys that we've collected, things like that.
Live party sessions from the hot tub. I don't know. A lot of options there for these subscriptions.
We're spitballing here. Anyway, so if you're interested in doing that, you can find that option on our Instagram page at We Don't Want to Grow Up Pod.
And so they are finally back. The long hiatus is over. We've made you wait and wait and wait.
And wait some more.
And then wait a little bit more.
It's our my so-called life recaps. I'm so excited. Go now. Go. I mean, we've not done one of these since like June.
That was very shocking to me. But you're right. It's been a long time.
I know. I mean, time has flown by. And of course, we weren't doing them because of the strike and we weren't sure what to do with it all. And then once we decided that we were good, going back to our recaps, that was the end of September. And then it was all like Halloween stuff.
Right.
So now we have a little time to get back into them before we take another break.
Yes.
But that's for our mental health.
And that's okay.
It is okay. I mean, it's for the holidays as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to take a break, but not yet. Not quite yet. But anyway, thank you so much for your patience. Like, this is definitely the thing that I have been messaged about the most regarding the podcast. People asking us to please bring them back. This followed by Felicity. That's the other thing people are requesting.
Well, maybe we'll come back with Felicity after the break.
That would require us to watch the rest of season 3. You going to do that on our break?
I don't know. I don't know. I make no promises.
All right. We'll see. Yeah, definitely don't make a promise. All right. So we left off with episode 12. Self-esteem, lovingly referred to as the boiler room episode, where Jordan is being secretive about his hookups with Angela. It's one that I think is very highly regarded in the my so-called life fandom.
Yes.
By the end of the episode, you know, he finally holds her hand in the hallway at school in front of everyone, and all is right with the world. Now, I would have been okay if the show ended right there.
Just that's it.
That's it.
They're walking down the hall holding hands. Show over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have been so satisfied with that.
All right, let's shut this down. We're done.
No. I have seen several people because I've posted that scene on our social media. It gets a huge response every time. And I've seen people make comments about how it was the perfect ending of the show. And I've had to be the one to break it to them. Like, you realize that there are 7 more episodes after that, right?
So did people think that because of our podcast, or people just stopped watching the show after that episode?
Yeah, I don't think it's because of the podcast. I think that it's people, random people that have seen my post, and they must have watched it back in the day for some reason.
Yeah.
Didn't pick it back up after that. Didn't catch it on MTV reruns. Didn't have the DVD set and watch it constantly like I did. And then now watch it on Hulu constantly, like some of us do. So they had no idea that there are 19 episodes. Like, they thought that it stopped at episode 12, or they blocked it out. I don't know. But honestly, I envy them. Like, I probably should have just let them believe that that's where it ended.
That would have been kind.
It would have been kind. But instead, I felt like they needed to suffer with the rest of us.
That's right.
Because I think we can all agree that it goes downhill from there.
It does.
Not that the episodes aren't great. Like, there's still some great episodes left. But just the story doesn't go where most of us would like for it to have gone.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, Winnie.
Way to go, Winnie Holtzman. But we should probably say thanks a lot, Claire Danes, since she's the reason that they didn't keep going. But
that is disputed. Don't you besmirch yet another person in this episode, one Claire Danes.
I love Claire Danes, but I just keep seeing people writing that it was her.
Was it her? It feels like it would have been her.
She wanted, well, some people said she wanted to go to school, but other people say that she wanted to just focus on movies.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Which makes sense because she did focus on movies. Like, she did Romeo and Juliet after that, Little Women, like so many. Obviously, she's still working today.
So as you said, this is episode 13. The name of this one is Pressure, and it debuted on December 1st, 1994.
Quick summary to this. Angela feels pressured by Jordan Catalano to do it.
Short and to the point, and that's what this episode is about.
Just a few new characters this episode. We meet Cynthia Hargrove, who is a previous
lover
of Jordan Catalano.
Yes.
Played by Sarah Ann Morris.
And Terry Hoyos plays Dr. Skolnick, Angela's normal doctor.
Angela and Danielle's pediatrician.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Who Angela then questions about, you know, doing
stuff. Yeah. Did you have the same doctor for a long time?
Yes.
I did as well.
Yep.
I feel like until I moved away.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, though.
I remember mine.
I can remember, like, they had the same toy in that office the entire time that I went there. From the moment I can remember until the last time I went, they had they were blocks, like wooden blocks with letters on them, but they would move on like wire, essentially, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And you could move them around this toy, and it was there the entire time.
Yep.
It had to be so germ-filled.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully at the end of the day, somebody sanitized all that.
No, it was just sitting over there with the toys. Nobody's cleaning those toys.
Well, they should have been cleaning them.
No.
Obviously, if sick children are playing with them.
Listen, you're not always sick when you go in there. Sometimes you just need a shot.
I know, but I mean, I'm basing it on being a teacher that had to clean toys.
Maybe they did then.
But also, it was in the, for you, 70s and 80s, and I guess part of the 90s.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were that concerned with germs back then. I feel like the answer is no.
Well, I feel like the answer was yes, because it wasn't like 1873. I'm not that old. They knew about germs.
You're three years older than me, so don't act like that. I'm just saying, we always talk about how people didn't care as much about stuff like that in the 80s.
I wonder if that extends to doctor's offices.
I don't know, but about 2 minutes ago, maybe not even that long ago, you thought it was a wild concept that I would assume that they would clean them. So I don't know how we got here, but let's rewind back and play this little part right here.
It was just sitting over there with the toys. Nobody's cleaning those toys. I'm just trying to keep you on your toes.
Okay. Favorite moments. I tried not to have too many, but, you know, it is what it is. So the very beginning of the episode, we open up with the parking lot and Angela is driving Jordan Catalano's car.
Mm.
Lovingly or not so lovingly referred to as Red.
Red, that's you.
But that just hurts too much to say, so.
It does.
If you know, you know. But she is struggling driving his car. Then she kind of bumps into, she bump into another car or the wall? I forget.
She hits a lot of stuff.
She hits some stuff.
It ends with her backing up into a wall.
Yeah. And as soon as she stops, she's like,
well, you shouldn't have let me. I told you I couldn't drive. This is only like my second time. Behind the wheel.
And he just shuts her up by making out with her.
There you go.
As you do.
The number one solution to all problems.
That is so true. And I love this scene mostly because I just think they both look so good here. Like, the lighting is so great
yeah.
for both of them. And the making out doesn't hurt.
Do you think Jordan had eyeliner on?
I just think his eyes are that beautiful.
You think so?
Yeah. His eyes have, in that scene especially, were always very mesmerizing to me.
So you think his bottom lid should be black like it was, colored in, all natural?
I'm not sure. Or is it just his lashes that you're seeing?
It could be just his lashes.
He does have really gorgeous eyes.
I agree.
I mean, it's undeniable, right?
I get lost in those eyes.
Okay, Debbie Gibson. I get lost in your eyes. And I feel but I also love how she's yapping about, well, you know, they're kind of talking about how, you know, he wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's yapping, because she's uncomfortable and nervous and clearly not ready, he continues like kissing on her cheek and stuff. And I love it because I feel like this episode in particular is really the only one where we get to see him be cute.
Yes, I would agree.
Through a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get to kind of see what he would have been like as a boyfriend.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that's...
Short-lived.
Very short-lived. But it's a fun scene that I always enjoyed.
All right, my first one. We have a scene where Ran and Ricky are talking about Cynthia Hargrove, and Angela comes up to them, and she realizes for the first time that Cynthia and Jordan used to go out.
You mean Jordan went out with Cynthia Hargrove?
Well, went out. I mean, I don't know how many outside locations I actually went to.
But she said somebody Jordan used to...
Yes, Jordan used to her.
You knew that. You must have known that. I knew that.
I must have blanked it out. It's okay. It's no big deal. I just didn't quite know about Cynthia Hargrove. So, now I know. They obviously haven't yet.
A whole new meaning to the word
I love that. After that, it kind of sends Angela into a little tailspin. We get some narration as she's walking through the hallways, looking at everyone around her as they're doing very human things, blowing their nose and just normal bodily things. She's realizing that everybody does it. Everybody basically, in case you have kids in the car. And she's even like looking at her teachers and thinking about how they do that. They could be doing that together. They could even be doing that together right now. And then she's like, I am like the sickest person. But I feel like that is kind of a normal teenage thing. Not that I remember specifically having those thoughts, but I just think for anyone, as you learn about things, it's just wild to have those realizations about everyone around you.
Yeah. I don't know that I ever thought about it.
No?
No, like not in this sense, I don't think.
I mean, I don't remember like specifically thinking the way that she is in that moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just a time where you're blissfully unaware of something and then suddenly you're aware. But maybe for some people, they don't really consider everyone else around them. They just think about themselves in that aspect.
That sounds very much like Angela.
What? Like what I'm saying?
All right. Next on my list, we have a scene with Angela and Jordan where they're talking about umming at a abandoned house. And Angela is a little concerned.
Like breaking and entering?
Just entering.
Yeah, that always got to me.
Well, it sounds very much like a boy as well.
Yeah, it's very sexy.
Is it?
It is.
I feel like it's...
Or he's trying.
He's trying, yes.
But I mean, it would have worked on me. So this whole scene where Jordan shows up at Angela's house late at night, her parents are sleeping. It's funny because it's unannounced and Angela just happens to be in the kitchen eating cold cuts because she didn't eat dinner with her family earlier. And her mom called it.
Yes. You know? Patty knew she was going to be hungry.
Yes. But she wouldn't normally be down there that late at night.
No.
Her parents were already in bed and she hears someone tapping at the door and she goes to look out behind the shade. First of all, very brave. And then you see on her face the realization, like she sees Jordan. We don't even see him, but you know from her face that it's Jordan.
Yes, you do. And she had said earlier in the day.
Oh, I don't know. How about in my room tonight after my parents fall asleep? We'll have to be really quiet.
And he took that as being quite literal.
Yeah, because he's like,
well, you said you wanted to do it in your room while your parents were sleeping.
I was joking.
But there's just so much cuteness here. Like, he's being very playful with her. I love, too, that he's like, oh, food. And he just immediately bursts into her kitchen and starts eating all the food. I'm like, this guy's never even really been in her house. And he's just unbothered, you know, like not worried at all that her dad might come down there with a baseball bat or something.
Yeah. Not a thought in his head that that's going to happen.
And they're kissing a little bit during this whole scene.
And I just want to add that Jordan definitely would have had ridiculous bologna breath.
But the beautiful thing about it is Angela would have had it, too.
I guess so. Maybe they wouldn't have noticed, but it was fresh bologna in their mouth. I think they were still chewing it when they were kissing.
I think they were.
Like, give it a second.
Some bologna kisses and caviar dreams. So, of course, Patty comes down the stairs and she's like, she doesn't come all the way down the stairs, though. And she's like, Angela. And of course, you know, Angela runs up to her on the stairs. And at first, Angela thinks her mom knows that he's down there because Patty's like, didn't I say this? Didn't I say that you would be down here, you know, snacking when you didn't eat with us? And then she's talking to her about the importance of family dinner. And she thinks everybody should eat together. And Angela's just trying to rush the conversation. And Patty's like, finish up whatever it is you're nibbling on down there. And the smirk that Jordan gets on his face is super cute. And then, oh, I guess that's after she says this. Then Patty brings up Jordan saying, you know, like, don't forget, your dad and I really want to meet Jordan. And Angela's like, shh. And she's like, what? You like this Jordan? Of course, Angela is so embarrassed.
Yes. Jordan's just down there smirking.
Yeah. And so when she goes back to Jordan, we get this cute little interaction.
So you like me?
Oh, shut up.
I mean, your mother says you like me.
Oh, shut up.
And again, like I said before, this playfulness, this cute flirtiness, like we just did not get to see much of that from him in the whole series. Like he seems comfortable with her. And I don't know, it's just the only little blip that it feels like they're actually together. I mean, I guess because it is the only blip that they're actually together.
It is.
I wish we would have just gotten a little bit more time with
him. Yeah, one episode in between.
Yeah. But again, you just got to rewatch the episodes 5 million times like I did. And it's fine.
Next on my list, I think it's the next day, Jordan shows up at the house and Graham answers the door. And I think maybe Jordan thought Angela was going to answer the door because he, you know, kind of does his hair thing. He looks down. He's like,
oh.
Oh, back at you.
Is Angela here?
Are you Jordan?
Yeah. Are you her dad?
Yeah.
And this is the first time that Graham has met Jordan. So he invites him in and Graham has some friends over.
Yeah. The awful Hallie Lowenthal.
Yes.
And her Brad. Boyfriend or fiance, Brad.
Old Brad. So Jordan just kind of has to sit there while they're talking to him. He's very uncomfortable.
But he's also like, you know, trying to answer their questions because they ask him if he has a major and he's like,
I don't think so.
And Hallie's like, oh, I think you'd know if you had one. He's like, yeah, I probably would have gotten like a letter.
What does that mean? What does he mean? A letter? Like a grade?
No, or? I think he means that he thinks he would have gotten a letter in the mail or something.
Oh, okay.
But also, why is Brad asking him about a major when he's in high school? Does he mean like, what's your major gonna be when you go to college?
Did we have majors
still
back
like
then?
Sophomores.
Did we have majors in school?
In high school? No, I didn't.
I don't think we did either.
I thought that was just a college thing.
Yeah. What does Brad know? It's just some stupid adult.
I know. Adults always have to ask questions about school and stuff that like no teenager ever wants to talk about.
No.
And we're guilty of doing it with our nieces and nephews too.
Absolutely.
But then it's like, I either want to know about that or your love life. And they don't want to talk about that either.
They just don't want to talk to us about stuff.
It's like you're really lucky if you can find things that you have in common, like movies you like or, you know, whatever. Like I think with some of our nephews that we like some of the same kind of podcasts and stuff. So we can talk about that.
I can talk to them about video games and how much better I am at video games than they are.
Yeah.
If Kian's listening, that's who I'm talking to.
Okay, so there's this tape that I really wasn't intending on talking about yet, but we're here. So there's a tape that Sharon brings over to Angela that is called, it's like an intimacy video on a VHS tape called Guide to Better Loving. And we get a whole scene where they're watching it and everything. More on that later. But the bus driver comes and asks Brian if he knows who this random backpack belongs to. And Ricky recognizes it as Angela's and they just give them Angela's backpack. And Ricky and Brian went through her backpack, apparently, because now cut to them watching the video. And Brian is talking about how his parents have a toy and it sounds like a lawnmower. And Ricky's like, I wish I could get away with bicycle shorts. And both of them are like watching and then their heads turn to the side.
While they're at school.
Yeah, they just found a random room in the school with a TV.
And were bold enough to put that tape in there.
Well, I'm sure they didn't know what was on the tape.
I guess. In a previous scene, I've got a favorite moment here about Angela and Sharon watching that video, but hanging out in the bedroom together.
Yes.
And I don't think up until this point in the show, we'd seen a lot of their friendship. Maybe a little bit.
Right.
But I really like that scene where we just get to see them hanging out, being friends.
Yeah.
You know, and being sweet with one another.
Well, it was nice because it wasn't a planned get together. She was returning her mom's chafing dish to Patty. And Angela starts questioning her about whether she's done it or not.
Yeah.
And she tells her she has. And so then Angela has questions. And then Sharon brings over the tape. And it, yeah, like you said, like it's nice because what we've seen of them, we've seen their struggles and we know that they've had a really good friendship in the past, but this was just like a natural hangout and it was fun to see. What I thought was amazing was that they were watching it in Angela's parents' bedroom.
Yeah, not the route I would have gone.
No.
Unless that's the only VCR in the house or something.
That was the only solution or the only like reasoning that I could think of. Like I had a VCR in my room as a teenager, but I know not everybody did.
I guess it's a better option than down in the living room.
True. And she probably thought her parents weren't home or something. Because right. Then her dad suddenly is home and they're like scrambling to get the thing out of the VCR and they drop it and kick it underneath the bed and then leave it.
Yeah, but Graham saw all that.
Well, I don't know, did he? Because then he thought it was Patty's tape.
Oh, you're right. So somehow he just found the tape.
Yeah. Although it would make sense. I mean, maybe he thought they were watching it, but he just assumed it would have been Patty's.
Ah. Yeah, they don't really flesh that out much.
Yeah. Because also I was like, yeah, right. Like he would just look under the bed for no reason.
Right.
And just suddenly find it. I did like this small moment where Ricky and Angela are in the bathroom and this is after like she and Jordan have ended things, kind of skipping over because none of those parts are my favorite. So I'm not talking about them yet. But Angela's like, I should have just done it with him. Like, why not? It would be so simple. And Ricky's like,
but maybe it shouldn't be so simple. I mean, not that I know what I'm talking about or anything. Because I've never, you know, experienced this or what have you. But even if I did meet the perfect person, I just think it should be like a miracle. Like seeing a comet. Or just feeling like you're seeing one. Seeing the other person's perfectness or something. And if you do it before you're even ready, how are you going to see all that?
I just love it because he's such a romantic.
It's very romantic.
I do like the message, you know, that they're putting out there, like, because the show is pretty positive in that way of like, it's fine. It's normal. Like teenagers do it, but it's also okay if you're not ready to do it. So there you go.
Next on my list, even though this might have fit better into least favorite moments, but Krakow lets Angela borrow his bike. He's very nice, even though Angela is being very passive aggressive about asking him. So she can ride her bike over to Jordan's.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just leaves it there and walks home.
Yeah.
Amazingly irresponsible.
As soon as she walked away, Pete was like, you got to get Brian's bike.
Yeah.
Very worried about Brian's bike.
I was like, well, I'm assuming that they just left that part out of the show. No, she really left it over there.
She did, but they used it.
They did.
For a later scene.
It's just so Angela.
I mean, she just needed to get away and she's just so upset that she just walked.
Yes.
I get it. Okay, this is a small moment, but, you know, Patty wasn't there when Jordan showed up at the house and the adults were all questioning him. And so she felt left out that she didn't get to see him or see what he was like. But she is leaving her house and sees Jordan parked in front of the house and he's getting the bike out of his trunk and she's just staring at him. And that's a good, I don't know, minute maybe not quite a minute, but of Patty like getting into her car, but just staring him down. And he's staring back at her because he knows that's got to be Angela's mom.
Right.
And why she's checking him out. Not in a creepy way, just in a, oh, you're Jordan, you know. And so she's getting into her car and then backing out and pulls out of the driveway and backs up far enough that she can get a really good look at him.
I was surprised that she didn't just march over there and introduce herself.
I know.
But that's one way to do it. And the way she did it is another way to do it. Just yeah. Lurk.
Well, I was like, does she know now that Angela is upset? So now she's like mad at him. I don't know. They didn't really give us that much information. Angela probably had not talked to her yet. But then you would think she would just be like, oh, I didn't get to meet you the other night.
Right. That's what I'd expect from Patty.
Me too.
She's very outgoing.
She is.
All right. Last on my list, in the scene where Angela and Krakow are talking about all of the stuff.
The ums.
Graham had been napping on the couch and wakes up and is still over there while the conversation is going on. And they have no idea that he's there. And so he has to hear everything that they're saying.
Yeah. And I'm sure no dad wants to hear the things that he's hearing Angela say.
No.
I mean, I think about it all the time, but...
Wait, you think about it all the time?
Brian! Yeah, shut up. Boys don't have the monopoly on thinking about it.
They don't?
No.
And it keeps cutting to Graham, just kind of trying not to laugh out loud, but also like, I can't believe I'm hearing this right now. Like, he does a really good job of acting with his face.
He does.
And after this, Brian leaves as Jordan is showing up with Brian's bike. And Jordan is just like, she left her bike at my place. And Brian's like, that's my bike. But he's like, you can, you know, leave it here in case she needs it again. And Jordan says, is she home? And Brian's like, I'm not sure, which I thought was just a nice, it's a Brian move because he obviously hates Jordan Catalano. But the fact that it's like a protective move because he doesn't know if Angela would want to see him or not, because he knows Jordan's still going to go to the door.
Right. Then at least she has the choice.
Yes. So I liked that. And then when Jordan goes in, she quickly is just like, so what do we do? How do we end this? You know, that kind of thing. And he's just playing it off like, well, at least you got some driving lessons in again. Just remember not to take the turns too wide. And he's like, I'm sure you won't. And then she says,
sometimes someone says something really small and it just fits right into this empty place in your heart.
And then we get real dramatic here. Like, Pete actually laughed out loud.
It was very dramatic.
But I've always loved it, even though it is dramatic. Like, it kind of feels a little bit like a play.
Yeah.
When she's like, Your hair.
Why, it's really soft. Like, in the back. I'm really gonna miss that.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess this is it. So... Bye.
Bye.
You know, she's got her single tear dripping down her cheek.
Very well done.
Yes. So then, you know, they're like saying goodbye. And then Jordan kisses her and says, I'll see you tomorrow.
Very confusing for me.
Well, very confusing for me. And I'm sure confusing for Angela. It always makes me so sad because there's something in his I'll see you tomorrow that felt like a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it didn't necessarily make me sad. It made me kind of hopeful in thinking that, like, well, maybe they're not over, but it's also confusing. And I'm sure it was very confusing for Angela. And I related to that confusion big time.
Boys, always so confusing.
Yeah. And again, like you said, Graham's on the couch, still witnessing it all.
Mortified.
When it's over, he's just like putting the pillow over his face. Like, this is enough.
I thought it would have been funny if Angela saw him right at the end.
I know, because Jordan just leaves and she goes upstairs.
Yeah, and never sees Graham there.
Yeah, which is funny because you kind of don't know how much your parents might actually know about you that you don't know that they know.
Yeah.
They're always there watching.
Or listening on the phone.
Yeah. Oh, the days when you could do that.
Yeah.
And then the final scene of the episode, Angela is giving her narration as she's riding Brian's bike.
People always say how you should be yourself. Like, yourself is this definite thing. Like a toaster or something. Like, you can know what it is, even. But every so often, I'll have, like, a moment. When just being myself in my life, right where I am, is like enough.
With no hands.
No hands, riding that bike with no hands.
Going down the hill. She just looks so free, which is kind of an unusual response to breaking up with Jordan. But I don't know, maybe the hands in the air is because he kissed her and now she thinks, she's like, so you're telling me there's a chance? No, but she's talking about like being yourself. And, you know, I'm sure she's proud of her decision to not just jump into umming before she was ready.
Yes.
All right. Least favorite moments. Got any of those?
Yeah, my first one is just how nervous and uncomfortable Angela was when they were at that abandoned house. She did a great job of acting right there because I felt really bad for her.
Yes, me too.
And she was so nervous and uncomfortable that she just dips right out, which is the right choice. Maybe she shouldn't have lied, but I'm glad she got out of there.
I know, because it's like, I did feel kind of bad for Jordan when he is telling her, like, you can say what you want about me, but I never lied, which is actually in the scene that is one of my least favorite moments, because he's very mad that she lied.
Yeah.
But she was uncomfortable. And maybe she should have just said that to him. She should have just said, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. But obviously she didn't feel comfortable saying that to him. So instead she freaked out and lied and left.
Yeah, which I think is something that some people do. Some people are just very upfront and they will say, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That's not what everybody does. Some people will just make things up to get out of a situation that they're uncomfortable with.
Yes. And especially as a teenager.
Yes.
And she didn't want to make him mad, right? She probably was afraid he would break up with her if she didn't. So she was trying to just maybe give herself a little more time, you know? But Jordan is very angry.
Because you don't get it, okay? You're supposed to. It's accepted. It's what you're supposed to do.
And then he's like,
unless you're, like, abnormal.
And he gets, like, this mean look on his face. And then she just exits. She's like, bye.
He knows he messed up there. As soon as he says it, you can tell that he regrets it. But he shouldn't have said it.
He shouldn't have said it. And as a teenager watching it, like, that always stung because there were several things, like, not necessarily that situation, but things that just made me feel different or quote unquote abnormal. And even as an adult, I feel that way sometimes, though I embrace it more now than I was able to as a teenager, because now I think I understand more that I'm not alone. Like, there are other people who struggle with the same things I struggle with and whatnot, but it's hard not to feel just so alone, like you're on an island when you're a teenager, and especially if you think you're the only one.
Right.
That's not umming, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, the conversations that you hear about and you're like, wow, am I the only one?
Right. And you're just like, why does this bother me? Like, why do I not feel ready to do it? Why is it so easy for everyone else?
Yeah.
When it's not easy for me? You could say that about a lot of things, not just umming. But, you know, in this case, I just felt for her. And then for him to say that when she's already feeling that, this coming from this person that she's like in love with.
Yeah.
It hurts and it's embarrassing. So that's why she left Brian's bike, Pete.
I expect a little bit more responsibility, Angela. Be upset, but you fulfill your responsibilities. All right, my next one, Graham and Patty decide they were going to or it looked like maybe they would, but they got completely distracted by everything that was going on in the episode. And it was really frustrating. I just wanted them to go away. I was tired of it.
Or to go
Yes. Like, get it over with or move on to the next scene. Sick of you two.
Well, and they did it where it was like they were on each other and then they gradually were like pulling away from each other. And
yeah, and like talking about the restaurant. And I don't remember what Patty was talking about, but the phone was ringing. They were very distracted. It's like, be in the moment.
Yes.
Both of you.
You know what? That is a thing. A lot of people have said in listening to these episodes and rewatching the show as adults now, like they used to be annoyed by the parents on the show and now they relate to the parents on the show. And I feel that way sometimes. And I think some of it is because we're not parents. But in this instance, I still was like rolling my eyes and like, get this scene over with already.
Yes.
Shut your traps and go upstairs. First of all, your kids could come home right now.
Yes. And either of them could walk through the door or Brian Krakow, who just waltzes into the house whenever he wants
just
to.
Willy nilly. Jordan Catalano.
Jordan Catalano could just walk in through the back door and eat cheese.
I was going to say he was going to go raid your fridge.
Now, that would have been funny.
That would have been.
He just waltzed out like during that scene eating bologna.
Oh, my God.
And that's, is Angela here?
And that's how he meets Patty for the first time.
Oh, my gosh. Missed opportunity.
Why weren't we writing this show? just two other, or really one other least favorite moment, and then just one thing that made me think of something, and I had to write it down. So least favorite, Hallie Lowenthal, just any episode she's in, it's going to be a least favorite for me. She's just so annoying. Though her assessment of Jordan that she gave to Patty was pretty spot on.
It was accurate.
The other thing, Cynthia Hargrove, the one who used to Jordan, was in the bathroom and overhears the conversation that Ricky and Angela are having about like not being ready and whatnot. And Cynthia's looking at Angela and she's like, I know we don't know each other, but can I ask you a question? And Angela's like, sure, thinking it's going to be about Jordan. And Cynthia's like, did you used to work at Big Guy Burger? Which in itself is just funny that Jordan Catalano is not even on her radar. But it got me thinking, where's Delia Fisher?
She's disappeared.
It's like she was a new student. She showed up. She was there for the World Happiness Dance. She had this epic moment with Ricky. And then we don't see her again for I don't even know how many episodes. I mean, I know we've taken a long break, but it's been several episodes since she has been there.
Yeah. And she's a good character.
She is. And I know she shows up again, but it's just, I don't know. I think it's interesting that they just didn't bring her in for several episodes.
Maybe they're trying to keep the budget down.
Maybe. Okay, fashion. I know I usually have more of these than you do, so you can go first.
All right. My first thing that I noticed was Rayanne's purple bandana.
Yes.
Purple and white swirl, mm-hmm. we'll call it.
Yep.
And then Jordan, we see, is all dressed up. He's got a fancy green button-up shirt. He is dressed to the nines for their evening on the town at the abandoned house. He is ready.
So romantic.
So romantic.
I was like, I think it's the first time I've ever noticed his shirt. And yeah. I was like, Jordan has on like a nice shirt right now.
He probably has on some CK1.
I bet he does. And I mean, honestly, I was just impressed that he changed clothes.
Yeah. And it wasn't the mechanic shirt that he wears so very often.
Yes. In the last episode when you said he probably smells like beef and cheese, which now we know he probably smells like bologna and cheese.
Bologna and cheese. How dare you say that about Jordan Catalano?
Jordan Catalano. It was a mix of bologna, cheese, and CK1. And cigarettes, I'm
and
sure.
Cigarettes. Gotta be cigarettes. And finally, Rayanne had on a very interesting outfit. She had on like a t-shirt. Was it a kind of tie-dyed t-shirt? Maybe not tie-dyed, but it was like two-color shirt where it's kind of washed in the middle, like orange and purple or something.
Yeah.
But then had on like this mint green slip or dress over the top of it, and then had on black pants or perhaps tights. It was a very interesting outfit.
It was. I really wanted to know if they were pants or tights because that trend, like a dress with pants, was more like early 2000s.
Yeah.
It was a look, but you know, she was a trendsetter, so mm-hmm. could have been that. But I feel like it was probably tights.
It would make sense if it was tights.
Yeah. All right. So for me, and again, we always have repeaters on this show, so we don't list every outfit that we see. But we've got Ricky's patchwork vest. We've got a lot of plaid in this episode. So you have Patty's plaid robe. You have Sharon's plaid jacket. So many jewel tones also. You know, you've got the navies and the emerald greens and the burgundies and the golds. You know, Angela later has on a red jacket with plaid on the inside. And you can see like plaid in her hoodie.
Yep.
And then Brian is wearing a plaid jacket later with this brown suede collar. Angela's got her emerald green sweater, and a few times we see her wearing her overalls. When she goes to the doctor's office, she's got her denim overalls, and then when she goes on her fancy date with Jordan to the abandoned house, she's got on that baby blue and black, like fuzzy striped sweater under her purple corduroy overalls.
Now, in fairness to the kids,
yes,
they did dress that house up quite a bit. They had candles all over the place, probably a big fire hazard, but at least they set the mood.
Can you imagine what that house smelled like?
Oh, my goodness. No, do not go upstairs.
And so we're meeting Brad, Hallie Lowenthal's fiance, who's wearing this V-neck, like cream or light gray sweater with these green geometric shapes all over it.
Looked like a big dork.
It was almost Heathcliff Huxtable-ish.
It did have that vibe.
But not quite. Like if it wasn't a V-neck. Because I don't remember him wearing V-necks, but if it had been like a crew neck sweater.
Yeah.
And then we see Jordan wearing a hat for maybe the only time in the series. He's wearing a baseball cap when Angela comes over with the bike. He's wearing his mechanic shirt.
Well, he is actually mechanicking his car.
He is. So he must wear a baseball cap.
You don't want to get your hair caught in the fan belt.
Safety first.
Safety first, Jordan. And lastly, we got our signs of the time. Now, I only have one.
Speaking of safety first,
yes. This was something that I was not aware of, but in the scene where Angela's in with her doctor, of course, recommends that Angela uses protection, but then also mentions the sponge.
Pete paused and was like, what?
I was like, what is that? Never heard of this. So it led us down quite the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I was trying to explain it to him. Again, I don't know a lot about it myself, but I said that's something that I would always see in commercials and in magazines in the 90s. But then we saw like it has been discontinued and brought back multiple times. And one of the times it was discontinued was in 94, which is when they filmed this.
It was. Now, as of 2019, it was discontinued and it has not come back.
Oh, okay. Because I was trying to read it. I thought during the pandemic, it was like out of stock, but I thought they had found like a safe way of using it. No?
Well, I don't know. In the Wikipedia article,
yes,
it said they stopped production in 2019 and then that was it.
Oh, okay.
So I don't, there might be more information that I'm not privy to.
Yeah. I mean, we just did a really quick Google search.
We're like, what is this? This is so 1994. And then we're like, I guess not.
A few of my sign of the times, I guess, well, this isn't really a sign of the times, but it led me to a question. When Patty and Graham and Danielle are having dinner, Angela shows up and she's just like, Mom, I'm not hungry. And she just goes upstairs. Were you allowed to skip dinner? Did your family have family dinner every night?
Pretty much every night, yeah. I don't know if I would have been allowed to skip dinner, but I would not skip dinner because I was voracious. I would eat everything.
You were like Jordan Catalano with the food.
Ooh, food. Yeah, because I would walk into people's house and just eat their food.
He still does it.
I still do it today. I make myself at home quite quickly.
Yes.
But yeah, I would doubt it, right? Maybe if I said I'm not hungry, maybe. But I don't know. That never happened that I can remember for any of us.
Yeah, I don't remember, like, as long as my sister, I think things changed, like, once my sister graduated school and then she, like, was in college and had a job and stuff. She still lived at home, but she maybe wasn't always there for dinner at that point. But if you were home, you were eating dinner when dinner was ready. My mom cooked every night.
And you're probably hungry anyways.
Yeah.
Like, who's not hungry? Come on.
She was hungry. She probably just didn't want to talk to her family.
Exactly.
Because she was upset, being angsty. But yeah, I was not allowed to, well, I probably wouldn't have been allowed to, not that my parents were like strict, but it was just the norm that we all sat down and had dinner.
Yeah, and you should eat a little bit of food.
Right. Nowadays, I think it's a lot different for families because they're just so busy. They're so much busier than we were.
They are busy.
Busy with sports activities and after school stuff and parents are working later these days, I think. And I mean, I know it's different for everybody. And there were parents in the 90s that, you know, worked night shift and weren't there for their family dinners. So I understand that we're privileged in that way to have had a warm meal and family dinner every night. So I guess I can't say that that's just something everybody had. But just from my perspective and what I know of the families that we know now, I don't feel like they sit down for family dinner every night.
Ever or just not regularly?
Not regularly.
Okay.
This is kind of, I feel, telling of the time, like just showing up at someone's house to see if they're home.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes you would call, but maybe sometimes like the phone was busy because maybe you had an older sister or a younger sister who was on the phone constantly and you couldn't get through. So you just went over there.
Yeah. I'm going to see what's up.
Yeah. I mean, even as a kid, we learned to do that. Like, can so-and-so come out and play?
Right. Nowadays, people wouldn't know what to do. I love those videos on like Instagram and TikTok where they show the progression of what happens internally in your mind or externally when the doorbell rings in like 1985 and 1995 and 2005 and then 2015 and the final one in 2015. You know, it's like terror rings throughout the house. If it's like, why is someone at the door?
Right. It's just not a normal occurrence.
It's not.
Or like in our case, in a lot of people's cases, then you're like pulling up your cameras and talking to people through your cameras. Like, can I help you?
Like, hello.
Speaking of the abandoned house where they all go to, like in your experience, did you know of a place like that where people, teenagers would go to?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
I don't know of that either. Doesn't mean it didn't exist.
True. Now, I came into the game late as far as being around people in my town.
Yeah.
But at that point, I never heard of any place.
Yeah. I feel like it would just be more like sneaking around in cars and or if parents weren't home kind of thing.
Yeah. Parents better keep a tight eye on everybody.
Yeah.
Because that's where it was going down.
Yeah. And how like Patty and Graham were talking about how this Jordan Catalano has a car. She's like, it's got four doors and seats. They might as well have their own apartment. And they're trying to have this conversation in front of Danielle, but they can't really say anything.
Yeah, because what does Danielle ask? She's like, what could you not talk about? Is it?
Are you talking about foreplay?
Foreplay.
And they're just like, what?
Too young to know of such a word.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's just a word that she probably has no idea what it means.
Yeah.
This I thought was interesting. So Graham and Patty are talking about how Hallie and her fiance Brad are going to come over and they think that's just such a fantasy name, Brad, which makes sense to me because I think of Brad Pitt. But then they meet him and as they're leaving, they're like, that fiance is such a Brad, big time Brad. And I'm like, no, he was a dork.
Yeah, he was a dork. Now he was rich.
Yeah, but he was not like what I would think that people would think is like a fantasy.
No.
Like he's the opposite of like Brad Pitt.
I didn't take it that way. I thought they were saying something bad about him, but.
No, I think they were saying it like he was, ooh, Brad.
Okay.
And then back to that intimacy video again, you know, the guide to better loving.
Yes.
With the couples, the Shelley and Mitch.
And then Shelley and Mitch.
Gunther and Liz.
Gunther and Liz.
That's what I love when Graham finds the tape and Patty comes in. He thinks it's Patty's and he's like, who's your favorite couple? Mine's Gunther and Liz. But then you've got this, like, at one point there's a saxophone playing as they're like kneading dough together.
Nearly in the nude.
Yes. And then there's this new agey music and massages are going on and stuff. Yeah. And I just want to say that that is very of the time, even though I don't know if that kind of thing existed or not. But I feel like since it existed in this world, it existed.
Yeah, I never saw anything like this, but I would not doubt that it did exist.
Just the way that there was video dating back then and you would send tapes.
Right.
You know, like I just feel like there was probably everything on a VHS tape somehow.
Absolutely. Right. It's an absolute how-to video. Yeah.
Yes.
Those for sure existed.
I'm just glad if my parents had it that I never happened upon it. And I don't want to know if they had it or not.
No comment from me.
Anyway, interesting times. Pete and I just off mic had some conversations about things that
we can't share. We're not going to
share.
But yes, maybe if we do a live show, we'll talk about it.
Oh, yeah, that'll go over well. Let us know if you ever found anything of your parents.
Yeah, if you're willing to share, maybe we will, too.
Okay, now we're going to go gouge our ears out.
Yes. And never think of this again.
All right. So that's it for that episode. Up next for My So-Called Life is episode 14, On the Wagon. And the one after that is the Christmas episode. So we got to get it in before the holidays are over.
Yes, we've got a deadline for the Christmas episode. We will have it done and released before Christmas. So you'll get a few My So-Called Life episodes before the holiday season is over.
You will. And a few holiday episodes, and then we will be taking a break.
Yes, we will.
We will still be doing episodes over on our Patreon, though, during that time that we're off. So if you get lonely and you miss us, you can come over there.
We'll still be there.
Well, as always, take care. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A-A-A-A-A-A-A-C-U-N-I-T.
Wait, how did you get...
Hold on. Look how far you are from this versus me.
Now I'm going to get out of my comfortable state.
I mean, I can move it closer to you if you'd like.
Too late now.
You're just generally a little closer than that.
Oh, I'm all discombobulated.
Oh, no. Lost your train of thought. Discombobulated. But you're closer now, so go ahead.
Another one that stars Andrew McCarthy that she's listed here, The Breakfast Club. Nope, doesn't star Andrew McCarthy.
No, it does not.
Cut that.
Cut that. Favorite place to go in the mall? struggling. Favorite place to go in the mall?
Just like that, he's a 90s teen.
And dance by the light of the moon.